Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:12 now, Friday morning. You don't want to wish anything bad on anybody else, but, you know, when you look at the catastrophic damage that Milton brought to Florida and you think about the beautiful weather that we're going to have here, you got to be thankful for us and pray for them because they are up against it, man. We know we've been through it, and as they deal with the damage and just they're exhausted as it is, right, because we've all been there. You're exhausted after dealing with the storm, but there's no vacation. Your nightmare is only beginning because now you have to deal with the damage and the flood and the insurance and FEMA and Lord knows what else because we've been through it here. Nice stretch of weather, highs of 83 today, 82 tomorrow, 84 Sunday, 86 Monday. Then it cools off. Wednesday's highs only near 70 degrees, so that's going to be nice, a little touch of fall for us. By then we'll be past the midpoint of October. Of course, for Andy Smith, the director of New Hampshire University of New Hampshire Survey Center, that's like, you know, the middle of summertime, I guess, right, Andy?
Yeah, pretty close. We've got a balmy 42 right now, going up to about 65 today. Beautiful sunshine, leaves are gorgeous. And actually, last night we had the Northern Lights.
Did you see them? Absolutely.
No, it was quite amazing.
They were saying that because of the solar flare, whatever the hell it was, I don't know, the Peyton Malone, the meteorologist, explained it, and I got half of it. But apparently, it could have been visible all the way down in Louisiana. I don't know if anybody saw it or not. As a matter of fact, if y'all did see the Northern Lights in Louisiana, I'm not talking about from what you imbibed or what have you or ingested, but actually did see them, 504-260-1870, and let me know. Andy, let's talk about the presidential race, because I was having a conversation yesterday with somebody, and I think now we're at about the point of a Fox pregame show or CBS pregame NFL show where college game day, take your pick, where now you're just looking for the predictions that you like. And if the person predicts your team's going to win, then you're all for it and you're all behind them and you believe them and you like them. If the person predicts your team's going to lose, you think they're a jackass and they're wrong. Pretty much where we are.
I'd say that's a pretty good analogy to put into it. What we're seeing is that the race is very close. Anybody can look at whichever poll they want to look at to bolster their point. But I think when it comes to it, this is just going to be a close race. And how the two teams here, how they grind out their victory at the end of the day is what's going to make a difference. And it's and that's the part of campaigning that you just don't see or hear about, that is how good the campaign organizations are, how they've identified voters, the specific names of the voters they've identified, how they're going to get them to the polls on election day. That's how this race is going to get won or lost. Barring, and I say this because we've had several of these, unexpected event.
I'll help out every now and then.
I need help this morning.
Lord knows I've been there. I put Delaware, Pennsylvania next to New Hampshire. Do you remember that or not?
I try to forget those things. Yes. I don't hold anybody.
One of my infamous gaffes of all time. And you should have seen a look on Jordan's face when I did that. My God, I thought he was going to have a stroke. Anyway, so let's talk about these voters. How do they identify them? How many voters are we talking about? Or is it overall getting everybody out to the polls in all the states?
No, what you do in a campaign organization is first off figure out which states you've got in the bag and you don't bother with them. So if you're a Republican, you're really not paying much attention to Utah or not really paying that much attention to Florida. If you're a Democrat, you're not paying attention to California or New York. But in those states that you're worried about winning, that you really think you have an opportunity to win, you want to recruit as many volunteers as possible across the state. You put in organizations essentially down to every county in the state, if not down to every town in the state. You want to go through your voter registration rolls, look at the people that are there, go to their houses, knock on their doors, get information about what issues are important to them, see where they stand for or against your candidate, target them with information, and then on election day have enough people to be able to target each one of those people that you've identified as your supporters to get to the polls. And it's a big organizational challenge to do that. It's not pretty. It's hard. It's a grind. But that's essentially how you get those people to the polls on election day.
So when it comes to the race itself, you know, we talked for a long time about, here we go, going to be Biden, Trump. But wait a minute. It's not Biden, Trump. And then you got the hurricane that comes in the middle of this. You got an assassination attempt. Then you got another attempt at an assassination, or at least almost, however you want to phrase that. Then you got the hurricane that comes into North Carolina, which is a swing state. Then you got the FEMA stuff going on, the stuff that Trump's saying, the stuff that Biden's contradicting. Is any of this going to be a difference maker, even though it is something new to talk about? Is it going to change anything?
I don't think the hurricane thing really is going to, you know, to quote another weather metaphor, sound and fury signifying nothing. There are times where it can become a major issue when there's nothing else going on. You think of Katrina and how that damaged the Bush White House. But in this case, I don't think there's really enough evidence on one side or the other to point to failures. And I don't think that there's enough evidence to show that the impact of this is going to hurt one party any more than it hurts the other party. And I'm pretty sure there's no evidence that somebody's out there controlling the weather to make this interesting. Although weather forecasts are interesting for folks in the media because it gives them something to talk about.
Absolutely. You know, that's why in the summertime on television, nothing against our friends in television weather. I love them all. But during the summertime, I can say hot and humid with a 40% chance for showers, highs in the 90s. And that takes like 7 seconds. But yet somehow they'll find a way to stretch it to about 4 or 5 minutes. And I think that's because people like to watch the colors on TV at home.
Well, we have the problems up here. Every storm that comes is going to be a disastrous blizzard, and then you end up with an inch of snow.
Well, that at least is something different than the same summer forecast every day. Andy, I posed this question to the audience earlier, and I was having a discussion with a friend yesterday, a couple of friends. We were having a few cocktails. It's a discussion that fight fans have had for years, their favorite fighter against the other in the prime of their careers, a generational argument that has gone on forever. So let's change it. Let's put it in the political realm. In their prime, one election to win it all, to walk away with the Oval Office, Donald Trump versus Ronald Reagan. Who wins? You can answer when we come back. 620 Traffic cool. Now, WWL.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Six 24, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Andy Smith about the upcoming presidential election. And so, Andy, would you say too close to call at this point?
To call. I mean, we're looking, if you look at national polls, Harris is up by about a point. If you look at battleground polls, they're essentially tied right now. And it's going to be that turnout that's going to make the difference. So I'd say it's essentially tied right now, barring any unexpected changes, but those could always happen.
And logistically in North Carolina, we had a thing here after Katrina where a Vietnamese gentleman won a historically black district because of a diaspora that was created as a result of Katrina. Any problems like that in North Carolina, as far as you know?
As far as I know, certainly people aren't going to be there for a while, but I don't see that there's the concentration of population in that area compared to what you have in New Orleans. It's a rural area where you've got a lot of people that are, you know, frankly, more used to being separated from services, and also, frankly, have more resources to go to fix themselves. So I don't think there's quite as much of a diaspora. People get back more quickly than you saw in New Orleans.
So I asked the question before, and I did it in an annoying Howard Cosell accent, only to represent the conversation that we had over cocktails last night. And the person that did the Howard Cosell impersonation last night, she was a lot better than I was. But with that being said, in their prime, who wins? Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump, one election to win it all.
Reagan in a knockout.
Really?
I think there's really not even much comparison between the two. Reagan was a far more disciplined candidate. Being an actor, he had the ability to say the same thing in a meaningful way to every audience. Mm-hmm. And that is a very, very important thing to have. That means your campaign isn't backing and filling and explaining what you just said because you say the same thing every time. I think that he had much better ideological grounding. So when somebody asked him a question that was a little bit off base, not the standard questions, he had the ideological grounding to be able to figure out what the answer is that's consistent with his other answers. And I don't think that's something that Trump has. I think his support team, Reagan's support team, was much better. You think of Jim Baker, Michael Deaver, some of these guys, far better at campaign organizations. And if you think about the environment that they faced in their first campaigns, Reagan was in a far worse place than Trump was in his first campaign. In his second campaign, think about this: Reagan wins every state but one, and Trump loses. So I think that if you look at those two and by comparison, Reagan, without a question, is the best. I'd say Reagan in modern era may have been the best campaigning president that we've ever seen.
What happens to the Republican Party if Trump loses? Because there are some people that are big fans of Reagan that are not big fans of Trump. And Democrats, I don't know, they're all over the place, it seems like. But with the Republicans, what happens to the Republican Party if Trump loses? Does a more Reagan-esque faction of the party come back and reclaim it, or do they continue to go down the Trumpian path?
I think there's going to be some divisions for a while, but I think they're going to sort things out. Political parties have some consistency in their ideologies, but they do change over time, and they change because what they were selling before doesn't work. You can think of the Democratic Party being the party of the Confederacy, the party of Jim Crow, and now it's the party that gets most of the African-American vote in the country because what they were selling before didn't work. And I think that's what the Republicans are going to look like. If Trump loses, Trumpism is going to have a hard time justifying itself. You know, there will be the diehards that hang on, but think of the Republican Party. For years, it would pre-Reagan, there was the more moderate factions of the Republican Party, and they had that big battle between more conservatives under Barry Goldwater and more moderates under Nelson Rockefeller. But Reagan was able to reshape that party and put it together. And I think that's really the key thing. I don't see a candidate right now that could put together the two major factions, the more conservative faction, the Trump faction of the party. But that's going to happen because these organizations' job is to win elections.
And again, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So the Republicans would kind of have to come together if they're going to be more effective?
Yep. Absolutely. I think they'll do it because I don't think we are in a position right now to create new parties.
Okay. Thank you, Andy Smith. Have a great weekend. Good to talk to you as always. Andy Smith, director
Thanks,
of the
Howard.
University of New Hampshire. You bet. University of New Hampshire Survey Center. What do y'all think? Who wins? Somebody texted in. I get two texts accusing Reagan or Trump of being a rhino. And I don't know, that rhino phrase is interesting because it seems as though you can morph it into, but just like anything in politics, you can morph it into whatever you want. We'll take a break. We come back. We'll talk to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, break down LSU's game against Ole Miss under the lights, Tiger Stadium, some special stuff planned, decals on the helmet to honor the 100th anniversary of Tiger Stadium. Also, I think they're going to paint the end zones differently. I'd love to see them paint the field like they did against Notre Dame back in the 70s, I think it was, with alternating purple and green, if I remember correctly, stripes. We'll take a break. Come back right now. WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. LSU may not be atop the SEC, but they're going to be tied for first place. Texas A&M idle if they beat the Ole Miss Rebels. Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. How you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well, Tommy. Big game Saturday
yes,
night.
Yes, sir. Big weekend. Getting psyched up. I still, and I'm not that old, but I still loved LSU playing Ole Miss on the Halloween weekend. It was just right. You know what I'm saying?
It is. You're right about that. But times change. And this is still a very pivotal game. And it comes at a I think it comes at a good point for LSU because they are coming off a bye week. Meanwhile, for Ole Miss, this is the second consecutive game that they are playing on the road. I think the Tigers may be a little bit more healthy coming into this game, but LSU has its share of injuries as well. But and I think a test to see where LSU is at since we last saw them go up against a really good team, and that was in the season opener against USC. Now, people might question whether USC is really good, but this is LSU's biggest test to the since that season opening game against the Trojans. It'll be interesting to see how much improvement LSU has made since that game.
You know, along those lines, the two USCs play each other. Who wins, do you think?
I don't know on that one, Tommy. I'm not exactly
LSU
sure.
LSU played them both.
Yeah, yeah.
Struggled against both in different ways, but Tim says Trojans. I don't know if the Trojans were to play the Gamecocks. That's what Tim says. First of all, it's the 100th anniversary tomorrow night in Tiger Stadium. They're celebrating it. That's got to be a big advantage, I would think, because hopefully it'll keep the crowd there, keep the crowd hyped up.
Yeah, Tiger Stadium, when it is at full capacity and it's a big game, I don't think there's another venue like it in sports. You know, when they're playing South Alabama, it's just a stadium. I don't want to say it's just a stadium, but it loses its magic. But this is what the game, these kind of games, and LSU will get a couple more of these before the season is over with when they play Alabama. And if they're still in the playoff hunt or in playoff contention, I think that Oklahoma game at the end of the year will also have the same kind of hype, the same kind of juice. But when you have a game like this in October, when the weather will be, warm in the day, but it'll be perfect at night, and you got a big-time opponent, and it's a top-10 matchup, this is where the stadium really comes alive. I mean, LSU has been very good on Saturday night here recently. In fact, Brian Kelly's 12-0 in Saturday night games in Death Valley during his time at LSU. So, and Ole Miss has struggled in Baton Rouge. They have not played well here. I mean, a couple of years ago, Ole Miss came in riding high. I believe they were undefeated when the Tigers played them in 2022 in Brian Kelly's first year here, and LSU took care of them. There was a high-scoring game between these two teams at the end of the year in that COVID year where both teams were going up and down the field, much like last year in Oxford. So, the Rebels, I think this is a signature game as well for them. I mean, they beat LSU last year, but we all know about LSU's problems on defense. This year, this would be a huge win for Lane Kiffin and the Ole Miss Rebels. I think they're still, Ole Miss fans are really excited about Lane Kiffin, and he's done some great things there, and they've won a lot of games. In fact, since I think 2021, they have the third most victories in the SEC. Going on the road and winning a game in Baton Rouge on a Saturday night would be one of the biggest wins for Lane Kiffin during his time at Ole Miss.
They haven't won in Baton Rouge since 2008, I think it is, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah.
And, you know, you talk about the 6:30 kickoff, and as I said earlier in the week, the sun has found its home in the western sky, man. I'm going to tell you what. Talk about Jackson Dart, Jeff.
Yeah. He's really good. I mean, he's a good football player. I mean, he's been around for a while, a guy that started at USC. Now this is his third year starting at Ole Miss. And when you look at his numbers, he's got some of the best numbers in all of college football. In fact, Pro Football Focus has him ranked as the highest quarterback right now as far as what he's been doing, as far as the statistics that he has been putting up. He's a guy that can run the ball a little bit as well, but is a guy that he's kind of seen it all. I mean, he's an experienced quarterback in the Southeastern Conference, runs Lane Kiffin system very well. He's tough. I think this is a big game in my mind as far as which defense can get more pressure on the opposing quarterback. Can LSU get Jackson Dart off of his spot? Can Ole Miss really pressure Garrett Nussmeier? The Rebels come into this game, they got the most sacks in the Southeastern Conference. While LSU, other than that game against South Carolina, has done a really good job in protecting Garrett Nussmeier. So we'll see if that is able to continue on Saturday night. But this is one of the top quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. I don't think he's going to win a Heisman this year, you know, unless Ole Miss really goes off and he has some huge games, including on Saturday night. But he's one of the best in college football this season, that's for sure.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back to be clear. Jackson Dart came from the Trojans, not the Gamecocks, as we talk about USC back and forth. I want to talk about Ole Miss and a receiver they could be without. Also, yeah. I want you to compare and contrast Garrett Nussmeier and Jackson Dart.
Okay.
And we'll talk about some more stuff when we return with Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. It's going to be nuts in Tiger Stadium tomorrow night. It'll be a big night for LSU football. 6:50, 10 till 7. Traffic now, WWL. 6:54, 6 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network news director. Big game for the Tigers against Ole Miss. You can get it started early, as a matter of fact. Coverage begins here at 2 o'clock. Mike Dettillier, Herb Tyler, former Tigers quarterback for Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. Great time with Mike and Herb. A lot of insight. Acme's got 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood. Catch LSU pregame at 4:30, kickoff with Chris Blair and Jacob Hester at 6:30. Again, I would suggest you turn down the TV and turn up the radio because you get a more inside view of the Tigers, just like you do with the Saints. Tigers Rebels, 10 hours, exciting football coverage tomorrow starting at 2 on WWL and a free Odyssey app. We're taking a preview with Jeff Palermo. Jeff, somebody texted in, everyone entering Tiger Stadium Saturday night gets a special wristband that lights up for a special light show. You know,
yes, it's going to be an LED wristband. For those that have been fortunate enough to, say, go to a Taylor Swift concert or maybe a Coldplay concert, you're pretty familiar with this, and I would imagine some other musical acts do this as well, but it's a wristband, and it's choreographed to light up in a different way, blink or whatever, however it goes, and it's going to start during the pregame, during some of the songs that the band is playing mm-hmm. in the pregame, and it's also, or not only the band, but some of the music that's played as the team is warming up during halftime. Of course, some of the songs that are going to be played during the game. Of course, calling Baton Rouge in between the third and fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And LSU is also asking you not to exchange the wristband with somebody else inside the Tiger Stadium. Like if you got a friend and another section, well, I'll get. Don't do that because it's the wristbands. It's actually
coordinated, right?
Coordinated yeah. so much that it's based on the section that you're sitting. So it will be a light show that Tiger Stadium has never seen before, just adding to what will be an awesome atmosphere for the game tomorrow night.
It seems like the high-tech version of those old card things they used to do, and you wouldn't want a red card where the white cards are in the section, right? Remember how people used to flip the cards?
I think I got what you're saying, Tommy. Right. I guess what I'm telling you is you don't have to worry about turning on your flashlight on your phone, okay? Right. This is going to be a little bit more sophisticated than that.
If you watch old movies, they used to give everybody a card, and the people in the entire side of the stadium would hold a card one way, and then I guess they'd flip it the other way in the old movies or whatever. I don't know. I'm guessing, but who knows? Let's talk about Ole Miss and wide receivers. They produced A.J. Brown, D.J. Metcalf, Trey yeah. Harris, we lost, out of Louisiana, goes to Ole Miss from Lafayette. 6'3", 210. Is he going to play, and what kind of receiver is he? What kind of challenge is he going to present for the LSU defense?
Well, LSU couldn't figure out how to defend him last year. He busted out for 8 catches, 153 yards, a touchdown, and it's questionable whether he plays. He got hurt in the South Carolina game last week, did not return, and when you look at what he has done this season, I mean, they've played 6 games. He has caught 52 passes for 885 yards. I mean, that's a season for a lot of guys.
He's a busy guy.
I mean, 52 catches. The second leading receiver for Ole Miss, Caden Lee, has just 18. So the whole offense, especially with the passing game, has really revolved around Trey Harris. Who has just been, he's one of the best receivers in the country. I mean, that's how you describe him. I mean, he's that good. A lot of people thought he would come out last year and go into the NFL draft, so it was a bit of a surprise that he came back this season after having a really good year last year, and he's been outstanding. Now, as you mentioned, a Louisiana kid would love to play in this game. I don't know. It's a question mark. But it's not like, though, if he doesn't play, it's not like they don't have anybody else. I mean, Antoine Wells Jr., he's known as Juice, He had a terrific career at South Carolina before transferring to Ole Miss, and then actually he got hurt his last year at South Carolina, but 2 years ago he was really good. Caden Lee is another good wide receiver that they have. He's been quiet the last few weeks. I mean, he got off to a really good start this season, and then really since the offense has been revolving around Trey Harris, he's been quiet, but he's a guy that could be a big part of this offense. So just because no Trey Harris, that doesn't mean that Ole Miss is still not going to be able to put up points on Saturday.
You keep saying Caden makes me think of Caden Durham. What do we know about him?
Probable. Looks like he's ready to go. So we'll see if he's just as effective and as fast as he was in that game against South Alabama.
This guy is a legitimate track star that could be on the LSU track team. And as we've said, LSU's got a pretty good track team.
They have an outstanding track team. Hopefully it's not a track meet this Saturday. Maybe a little bit more defense than what we saw last year, Tommy.
Hope so. Jeff, you got a prediction?
I'm leaning LSU. I think the game falls on the schedule a little bit better for LSU coming off the bye, and the fact that Trey Harris might not play, I think that gives a big edge to LSU.
Saturday night, Death Valley. You don't want to miss it. Thank you, Jeff Palermo. We appreciate it. Your time. WWL.com, Louisiana Network News Director. We'll come back. We're going to talk to Jacques Thibodeau, Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, about how GOSEP's helping those impacted by Hurricanes Helene and Milton.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.